We're glad that you could be with us on New Year's Day. Welcome to City Bible Church. For those of you that may not know, my name is Ben. I serve as pastor here, and it's really great to see everybody here. Glad that we could be together. A couple of real quick little bits of information before we dive into our talk this morning. We just like for you to be aware. See if we can get this thing to work. There we go. Okay. You can find more information about us on our website through the standard forms of social media, through Twitter and Facebook. Also in the event, especially, you know, with the holidays, if you have to miss church at any point, you can listen to some of the messages from the church every week we post on our website or through iTunes. We want to make sure that you're aware of that. And that obviously we always have something going on. Our City Kids ministry is always going on. And on Tuesday nights, Rebecca and I have our house open, 7 o'clock. We have a dessert there for any visitors you want to come, or maybe you know someone who wouldn't want to come to a Sunday morning first, but they've got some questions. You can feel free to come. And if you're shy and you don't want to say hi to us and ask for a phone number or address, I've got the email address listed there. So just so you know, it's every Tuesday, 7 o'clock. We got that available for you. And excuse me, in the interest of full disclosure, we'd like for you to know that at City Bible Church, we believe in the generous life. Amen. You can do better than that. We believe in the generous life. Amen. And so what we do is every month we give away 10% of what you give, and we like for you to know that. And right now what we're doing is every month we give it away to a different cause. And typically, that's church planners and missionaries. And so for the month of January, we will be giving to some good friends of ours and network missionaries, Eugene and Joy Greco. Eugene and Joy Greco are in the south of Spain, which is a heavily Muslim area, heavily Muslim part of the world. It's a beautiful part of the world, a warm part of the world. But they're doing a great ministry there. We love them. They're great people. And we just like for you to know that that's what we're doing in the month of January. Everybody okay with that? Good, because we're going to do it no matter what. So, Happy New Year. Glad that you could be here this morning. I wanted to just start off this morning doing something a little bit different, which is seems to be the trend today, and start off by telling a story. Now, I have never told a golf story yet, and I'm going to today. When I was a teenager, was playing in a tournament, and the front nine had been rough. And you play match up with a guy from the other team, and you know it was, you know, varsity, believe it or not. And I had started off really good on the front, and then kind of had struggled. And I didn't really like this guy that I was playing against, and I really, really wanted to beat him. And so we made the turn, and we tee off on the 10th hole. Now, for those of you that agree with Mark Twain that golf is a walk in the wood wasted. You might not care, but the 10th hole was a long dogleg right. And what that means is that when you start and you're hitting, you can't see the flag. You can't see the green and where you're going. And because it's a par 5, that means that they're expecting it to take you about 3 shots to get to the flag. So it's long. And so I had a great tee shot, I mean, great distance, got the ball way out there, and got out to the ball, and where you can make the turn where you could see all the way down to where the green was. Now, this was a picturesque hole as it kind of narrowed down with more and more trees. It kind of narrowed it down from being an open field of green, if you will. And then the green itself was elevated. And by that, what I mean, if you walked right up to it, you would literally be looking up. You know, a good 10 feet up in the air is where the ground was for the green, and that's where the flag was. Now, I was a couple hundred yards away from that still and couldn't really see, but I knew from the little card that there was a creek that ran in front of that green, right at the base of that little tiny hill, all coming in with the, are you getting the picture? All coming in with all these little trees. There was this creek running right in front of this water. So, of course, what you should do if you're a mature person is what they call layup. Now, it's different than basketball. You don't run. What you do is you hit a ball to be short of the green to give you one more shot to get up there, right? Being a teenager, of course, I was not mature, and I wanted to go for it. And so, how many of you can say, go for it? All right, it's a good Happy New Year kind of thing to say. I wanted to go for it. And so I took out the big dog. I was going to let the big dog eat. And for those of you that don't know, that's a wood, right? And I took a shot, and I'm telling you, I gave that thing all I had. And it took off. And it landed on the green. And then it rolled back. Now, I don't know, for you, New Year's might feel a little bit like that. You gave it your best, and now you're in the drink. I know it might feel, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. So I get up to my ball, and that means you got to cross this little dainty bridge and get on the other side of the water. And I'm going down on this little very, very sharp edge. You know, there's hardly any grass at all. And where is my ball? It's about right here, sitting on a root of a tree coming out of the ground. I kid you not, just like this, like the shape of my hand, like this little seed, this root of this tree had come out and made this little ledge, like you couldn't even build a bird's nest on it. And there's my ball. It had rolled off, and I thought it was in the water. It wasn't in the water. It was sitting right on this ledge. I kid you not. You might be feeling like that at New Year's, right? So what I did was I took out a club, and as I was known to do, often getting myself in trouble and then get myself out of trouble with miracle shots, I literally was standing 1 foot right next to the water, and 1 foot, I can't even stretch that high anymore. I'm not a teenager anymore. As high as I could up on this grass embankment, which was pretty steep, and I choked way down on the club, so the head of the club is like right here, and I like did one of these numbers. You know, I got that thing back up on the green in 3. So no matter how last year, 2011, was for you, 2012 could be good. Amen? Okay, before this gets too crazy, let's open with a word of prayer. God, I thank you that you are the big God, the God who created the universe, and the God who loves us. You are Yahweh, both creator, and you are our redeemer. And so as we turn to the word today, I pray that you'd help us to be hearers of the word and doers of the word. We thank you for this new year. We dedicate it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I do like being a little bit mischievous from time to time, and so that's why I enjoy telling that story. But I don't mean to make light of the fact that 2011 may have been a difficult year for you. You know, we've had death and loss in our family in this year. And unfortunately, even one of my high school friends who took his own life this past year, you know, these are the kinds of things that can happen that can mark a year, that can cause it to be a difficult year. It may have been a year where you lost a job, had a difficulty getting a job. You know, I don't mean by my story to make light of any of those things. But I know the fact is true, just as Joe said, that writing something on a piece of paper is not going to make it happen. A New Year's resolution where you just write something down on a piece of paper, anybody can fake it for 3 weeks, right? You know, when we were living on the West Coast, you know, we would work out at a gym, and now I just chase the kids. But I always hated this time of year because the gym would be packed. It would take a lot longer to get in. It would take a lot longer to get out. You know, all these people on there that have no idea what they're doing on the machines, and no offense to any of you that are doing that already. I just hated that time of year. But I always knew that come February it would be better, because a lot of those people would quit. And so the fact of the matter is that even if things have been really difficult in 2011, you just making up your mind is not going to make it better. Now, if you're here 9 a.m. on a, you know, New Year's Day, you're probably only here because you believe in God, so you get it. So we'll come to heated agreement on that point, right? We believe in God. God is our hope, right? In God we find our salvation. Now, I want to do something exceedingly strange, and I want to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now, you may have heard that we are going to endeavor the month of January, January 9th to the 29th, to do a 21-day Daniel fast, and you may be wondering what on earth that is. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. But it just kind of got me to thinking a little bit about Daniel, and there are so many great stories as it relates to Daniel. It's good to see Daniel here this morning, namesake. It's always good to have a good, solid name. So this morning, what I want to talk about is, we'll call our topic, Pray Like Daniel. And I want to do something not only stranger than just referring to this story of Daniel in the lion's den. I want to read the whole thing. Is that okay? For City Bible Church? All right, let's just read Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read from the New Living this morning. If you're there, say yeah. Okay. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days. Any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at the last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of the Cyrus the Persian. We say amen to God's word. And we know that all of Scripture is inspired to benefit us, right? Even this fun story that gets talked about a lot. Now, a couple of details to kind of have in your mind as we look at a couple of these aspects of this story to try to take something away from it today for 2012, okay? Daniel, at the time of this story, is 88 years old, okay? He's 88 years old. He's already been around the block. All right, this is roughly 537 BC, okay? So starting to get closer to the time of Jesus. There's established civilizations here. And this is not the king, nor the ethnicity even, of king that he had been under for the whole story of the fiery furnace and the writing of the wall. Okay? This is the third king that he served since they were taken into captivity. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time to go into all of that, but it is kind of important for you to know that this part of the story, this is really Darius's first interaction with Daniel and vice versa. And I want to kind of take the story a little bit in reverse and start by focusing on what Darius, the king of really the most powerful empire of the known world at that time, sent this message to everybody they could get it to. That's crazy, right? This king sends a message, it says, to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Now, we have other contemporary historical documents that talk about Darius, and so we've learned about Darius from other historical documents as well. This guy was powerful, and when he set out to do something, he was going to do it. Now, do you think that if President Obama sent a message to every known person on the planet of every language, then maybe he thought that message was important, right? So here we have Darius the Mede. He sends a message to everyone. He paid the bill, right? This was written down. This was carried by messengers under protection, right? This was read to people of every language. Every language heard this message. And so I want to start with just rereading that message and start with what's one of the big takeaways that this guy had who was an eyewitness to Daniel in the lion's den. Okay? So he says, peace and prosperity to you. Now, this is a conquering king. Okay? Now, he's a contemporary of the Persians. Like, they're not completely together. They're kind of at peace, but they were also competitive. And so that's kind of important that here's this a guy who was made his living, so to speak, on military conquest. I'll just give you a visual here, first of all. Okay, so Darius is a guy who's made his living on visual conquest. And he starts with peace and prosperity to you. Now, I would propose to you that that means that he was affected by what happened. Right? What he saw in how God delivered Daniel from the lion's den affected him. He went from being a conqueror, I'm going to stomp on you, right, to establish my kingdom. I mean, how else do you get people to pay you taxes? Right? I mean, at that time, you go in and you conquer. You kill people. You are not a nice person. And this message starts with peace and prosperity to you. Well, some of us need that attitude going into 2012 towards some of the other people we know, right? Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom, anyone who's under my control, should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. Now, I don't know what you went through 2011, but you might need a reminder for 2012 that God is the living God, and he will endure forever. That's good. I need to hear that. Come on, that's good. God is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom is without end. He is living, and he is eternal. We can dress up on a Sunday and come to church and still need a reminder of reality. Reality is that God is alive. Come on, shake yourself this morning. Come on, come on, say with me, God is alive. Let's do that again. God is alive. God is alive. He's active. And guess what? He doesn't have an expiration date. He's eternal. His tender mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. His faithful love endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves His people. Now remember, this message is going to people that have not read the Bible. Right? This message is going to people in other nations, in other languages, that don't know about Yahweh God, that don't know the Creator story. Now we know from history, they probably had their own creation story, because God gives every generation a witness of who He is. We don't have time to get into that today, but that is a principle of Scripture and of history that you can find. God gives every generation a witness of who He is. That was a really good time to say amen. God gives every generation a witness of who He is. Now, God is using Darius to send a witness, another witness, besides the beauty of the sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, the lakes, the stream, the oceans, the mountaintops, the valleys, the harvest, everything that God had provided for them. In addition to that, God is sending a message through Darius to these people to describe His very nature. Right? As Ben pointed out earlier today, we cannot see Him physically, but we can learn about His nature. Right? He rescues, the God of Daniel, right? He rescues and saves His people. Now, how does that strike you? I want to be one of His people. I want to be a part of that. Right? I want to be in that family, in that group. Get me in there somehow. Right? He rescues and saves His people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Can I get an amen? Amen. That is God's word right there. That is good. He rescues and saves His people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. I don't know about you, but I believe that the God we serve is the same God today that He was on that day. That's what I believe. That's why I'm here today. So we take away from this passage in Daniel chapter 6, maybe the strangest New Year's Day message you've ever heard. Our God is living and eternal. Our God rescues with the miraculous. That's good. That's good. That's worth chewing on for a while. Now, we're in rewind mode. We're going backwards a little bit, so I want to draw out a little bit more. Let's go back to verse 3. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Now, Daniel worked hard and with integrity. Now, this is a principle. Okay, we were talking about between Thanksgiving and New Year's, we were talking about the courageous generosity offering. We were talking about a principle of generosity, and every time we talk about our give offering, where we give away, we talk about the principle of God has already given me His best, and so as a way to say thank you, I choose to live on less of my own time, energy, and money so that I can give somebody else a high five, a hug, a compliment, buy them a cup of coffee, buy them a meal, and give of my money, my time, energy, and money to someone else because God has already given His best to me, right? It's a principle. I didn't do it because we are in a building program. Obviously, we're not, right? It's a principle. It's something we do every year. It's a part of City Bible Church and what City Bible Church is in other states across the U.S. It's a part of who we are because of what the Bible has to say. Now, much in the same way, before I even look at where the way that Daniel prayed, In this story, first the natural, then the spiritual. In this story, I see Daniel was a good worker. He showed up on time. He gave his best. He did his work for another king, another country that came in and took control. Remember, he's 88 years old. He was taken, he was literally kidnapped, right? Kidnapped from the country of his birth, taken to this other country to serve. He's working as a slave. Now, if anybody has an opportunity to have a bad attitude, it's that guy, right? Taken from his country to another place, he's got an opportunity for a big, fat, bad attitude. Is that how Daniel responded? No. Daniel was a man of excellence. Daniel worked hard and with integrity. Now, at this part in the story, we don't know where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went. All we know that at this point is that Daniel is one of the only ones in administrative power. And if you study this a little bit further, what you will basically find out is that he is the vice president. And there are hundreds of these other politicians under him. And you know what politicians like to do? Sling mud. Right? And so the story tells us that they were looking for something to throw mud with. Right? That's what they were looking for. And what does the story say? Verse 4, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. When I was 12 years old, I was at one of my great-grandfather's funerals. And I had two great-grandfathers that were immigrants that were preachers. And this one was 12 years old when he passed, pretty close to 100 years old. And one of the things that was said about him and his ministry was that he was never accused of wrong, that sin was never mentioned in his ministry. It's possible. Now, look around this room, okay? Now, we finally got it warm in here, so it's a little cozy. Look around this room a little bit. A lot of bright, shiny, happy people. A lot of good-looking people in this room. Nobody's perfect. Not a single person in this room is perfect. We've all got a past. We'll have insecurities, fears, doubts. That little thing that always gets us, sends us over the edge, right? We all have something. Just breathe. It's okay. All right? There's no perfect people allowed in this church, and nobody stands alone. We're all in this together. And we serve a great God, a living God, an eternal God who rescues and saves his people, right? And because he's rescued us and he's saved us, now we have a choice to live life with excellence. And as difficult as it may be, and as much as you don't want to hear it on a holiday, God cares about if we will go to work and work hard with integrity. That's an important part of this story. That's in this story for a reason. All scripture is for our benefit. All scripture is inspired. Amen? Right. Daniel worked hard and with integrity. That's an essential part of the story. Now, what he also did was he budgeted time for God. I'm just saying all kinds of bad words today, huh? He budgeted time for God. Because when they pulled their trick, right? When they did their nasty little thing, they convinced the king, oh king, great king, right? Don't kid yourself. These guys did not like him. Why would they do that? Daniel's of a different ethnicity. Daniel's from a previous administration. Daniel lives different, right? He eats different. He walks different. He talks different. Daniel is a different person from them. They don't like him. They are throwing him under the bus. They want him dead. When they seek, and they didn't seek to just give, if anyone worships anyone else, they should be demoted. No, they should be thrown to the lions, right? They sought to have him killed. When they sought to have him killed, they couldn't come up with anything else. The only thing they could come up with was predictable good things that he did do. I don't even want to ask. Do people think about me the same way? I know, it's uncomfortable. Do people think about you the same way? I can take away from this by the grace of God, by the rescuing of God and God's work in my life. Now, remember, Daniel was 88 years old. I am going to respond to God and all of his love and try to live my life to work hard and with integrity. But Daniel didn't get that way by making a New Year's resolution. I got to say that again. Daniel didn't get that way by making a New Year's resolution. Daniel had a set time and place to pray. Now we're talking. Daniel had a set time and place to pray. Not on Christmas and Easter's. Not on Sunday. Every day, three times a day, mind blown, right? Daniel had a set time. I can't wait to get to heaven and watch the video with Daniel. I want to hear his commentary. You know, the holidays, especially when you can't sleep, that's the time you watch the DVDs with the commentaries. And then we were doing this as we shot this scene. I want to watch the video with Daniel and hear his commentary. What were you going through, man? If they're 88 years old and they're throwing him in a hole. I want to hear the comment. But you know what I think we will hear? A strength and a resolve that was in his character for real because he met with God every day. Now, whether you do New Year's resolutions or not, stopping to thank God for the good things of the past and thank God for the good things of today is a good idea. Having vision, have direction, having goals is a good idea, right? You're never going to get to that goal if it's not a, well, I shouldn't say it that way. If it's a God goal, you'll get there quicker. If it's a God goal, you will get there and enjoy it. Some of the most wealthy and successful people I've met, and I've met the third richest man in the world and people in movies and people, professional athletes, some of the most successful people, quote, that I've met are the most miserable people I've met. You can go your plan and be miserable. It's possible. You can pursue your dreams, your desires. You can try to become the person that you have romanticized yourself to be and be miserable. But if you daily spend time with God, He will direct you. He will direct your motion. He will direct your desires. He will direct you. He will show you how He created you to be who you are to be. Not to be like me. Not to be like Joe. Not to be like Kristen or Ben. Not to be like anyone else in this room. To be you. To be who God called you to be. If you will daily spend time with God, He will open up your eyes, open up your spirit so you can see who you are called to be, and He will direct that so that you'll be going the right direction. Amen. So that whether things are hard or easy, you will know you're at the right place and you will have peace and you will have resolve. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have many occasions, or at least a few, in the Bible of people being described as being afraid. So afraid that they fell down, so afraid that they cried, so afraid that they soiled themselves, so afraid that they vomited. I mean, seriously, there's one in Daniel too. There's people so afraid that they just lose it. We don't read that about Daniel in the lion's den, do we? He's 88 years old and they threw him in a hole. That's bad enough. I don't want to be thrown in a hole today. Sometimes when I play soccer and I get thrown to the ground, I don't like that. I get up with resolve. Okay? I don't want to be thrown in a hole. I don't want to be thrown in a hole with lions. Now, I've been to a couple of zoos that have new exhibits where the lions get very close to you. And those lions look well fed. Still a little intimidating. These lions were clearly not well fed. Now, there is, you know, trivial little detail here. Big difference in the culture. Hebrew, the Israelite nation, had a tradition that children could not be punished for the sins of their parents and vice versa. Okay? The Medes did not have that. It was in their tradition to punish the children for the sins of their parents. That's why that part of the story is in here. Okay? These lions were hungry. These lions wanted to eat. God did a miracle. The miracle, sadly, is confirmed with the death of the families. It's a documented miracle. Those lions were hungry. Daniel was in there all night, not because he smelled of stinky cheese. Okay? He was in there all night, not a scratch on him, because God rescued in a miraculous way. Now, it's really important for you to realize Daniel did not pray because he was delivered. Hello? He prayed before he was delivered. The story doesn't read, and then Daniel prayed. No. And he didn't pray because he was in trouble. He prayed because it was that time of day. Hello? He prayed because it was that time of day. He had a set time, a set place. That's where he prayed. He prayed at a set time and a set... This is important for you to get into your system today. This is important for you for 2012. If you want to be who you want to be, who God created you to be this year, if you want to see those things improve that you long for, that you wish would improve, if you look back like I did on that golf ball at 2011 and you want to see that rescue... Daily time with God is essential. It's essential to your survival. You are a spiritual being. Let me tell you why. You've been frustrated a lot in your life. You are not feeding your spirit. See, I can't pray for you. Now, I can pray about you. I can talk with God, and I do daily about you and ask for you, but I cannot pray as though I am you. If that's what you believe, that's a different church. It's another team. Okay? We don't play that way. I cannot pray in your stead. You can't pay me money, light a candle, do a thing, buy me a car, whatever, and get me to pray as though I am you. Only you can pray for you. When you pray, you're feeding your spirit. It's like oxygen. A believer, a Christ follower, without daily communication with God is like trying to scuba with no air. Your spirit, if you are not daily, and I mean connecting, no matter what method you're using, the Lord's Prayer, the Jabez Prayer, this, that, the other... If you're not connecting daily with the living God, your spirit is sick. It's sick. It's not designed to live that way. If you want to pray like Daniel, you've got to set aside a time and a place. The Bible says in the New Testament, pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. You notice that Daniel was preserved in the lion's den, not from the lion's den. So angels broke people out of jail. God could have done whatever he wanted. He could have thrown him in the hole and bounced right back out. Hello? It's New Year's Day. Come on. Yeah. God could have done whatever he wanted. Daniel wasn't preserved from the lion's den. He was preserved in the lion's den. Now, there are some people in my life who still communicate with me, are still in a process of getting closer to God because they saw me in difficult situations, in jobs, where people were trying to attack me and God was preserving me in the situation. I cannot pretend to stand here and tell you that 2012 and being a part of City Bible Church is going to make your year completely different and preserve you from those challenges. Maybe God has you allowed you to be in the challenge because he wants to preserve you inside that challenge. Oh, Pastor Ben, I did not want to hear that today. I know. But I can't stand here and lie. I can't stand here and lie. There are some challenges that God will preserve you from. You won't even know. You know, when in the Christmas shopping, we do this thing where we take the kids and we split up. And, you know, I have one child, she has the other, and they buy gifts for their, you know, for the brother or sister, and then for the other parent. And then we switch. And so they can, you know, buy gifts for everyone. We were going to go to the mall, and at the last minute, we decided we were going to go somewhere else. So we went to Target. And that's when there was a shooting in the parking lot at the mall. God will preserve you from some things and you won't even know about it. Hello? Yeah. He can preserve you from some things, but when you're in a challenge, pause long enough to ask God how he wants to preserve you. A little too mature for a New Year's Day. Too deep, Pastor Ben. Go away. Go away. Now, let's wrap this up. Daniel overcame fear, right? Now, we don't know. We don't have his inner dialogue. We don't know what he was thinking. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to get the on-screen commentary. But what we do know from all of the writings about Daniel and even what we look at in Hebrews 11 and other places, he overcame fear by faith. Now, even the fear of man, right? Because a lot of us would have maybe rationalized the law. Well, maybe, okay, so they made the law. I'm not supposed to pray to anyone. I'll shut the window. Or I'll only pray at night. Or I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be stupid. God's not calling me to die. Hello? He could have rationalized it. But he didn't. He overcame even fear of man, fear of reputation, fear of losing his job, let alone losing his life. You know, because the king could really have done whatever he wanted to do. He overcame fear by faith. He had faith in God that was a real trust. It was an active trust. Like the Proverbs 3, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding. I don't like the things that I see. I don't lean on the things that I see. But in all my ways, I acknowledge him and he will direct my path. Daniel went right back to the set time and place to pray. And that's where God delivered him. Now, you have to go back, and we don't have time today. We're going to close here in just a moment, to the other stories to also understand that Daniel had a faith that said, I will trust God even if he does not deliver me. That's also a part of Daniel's story. It wasn't, I trust that God will deliver me, and if he won't, then, you know, fooey on him. You know, that was not Daniel's attitude. I trust in the living God no matter what he does. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not come naturally to me. No. That does not come naturally to me. That is weird. But that's the kind of faith that Daniel had. That's the kind of faith that grows out of a daily contact with God at a set time and place. You guys okay? Now, I love this picture. I love this picture, this little baby. We all think we're rock stars. And I think it's fairly easy, maybe not so much depending on what you did last night on New Year's Day, to feel this way. But you normally, sometime this week, it's like, hey, it's a new year, it's a new day, everything's new, woo! You know, we get that excited, I'm a rock star kind of feeling. Then, you know, the next couple days kick in, and at some point, you kind of feel like this turtle. You're trying to, you know, looking at the street, you're trying to cross the street, and you're realizing that truck is a lot bigger than you. All right? But what I want you to walk away from today with, from this story in Daniel chapter 6, is a realization that God the Father is with you. See, we talked about in December, Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you in whatever you face this year. He's with you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with you. You're a little kid carrying a balloon and holding daddy's hand. That's the kind of relationship that God the Father wants you to have with him. Not stressed out and worried whether or not he's going to pay the bills. God doesn't want you walking around thinking that, feeling that. He wants you to walk around with a resolve, with a faith, that wherever daddy goes, I go. He doesn't want us coming into 2012 asking him to bless our ideas for the year. Hello? I'm going to write out my plans. What? One of the reasons we're going to do the Daniel fast is so that we can seek God for his plans. I'm not to say, God, come with me. No. God, where are you going? I'll go there. Hello? God preserved Daniel in the lion's den. And the last verse here, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. God didn't leave him in the lion's den either, okay? Let's stand. I'm so glad that you joined us today and that you sat through my mischievousness this morning, as I thought it was kind of quite funny to do this story on New Year's Day. I hope that this has ministered to you a little bit. I would hope that you would reach out and kind of sink your teeth into it a little bit. There's so much, you know, that I want to say on this day, so much about what God has for you. And, you know, over the course of this past year, you know, we, before we started meeting regularly on Sunday mornings, we had a meeting in the month of January with some friends from a small town to the north called New York City. And, sorry, that was kind of funny. And one of the things that they said in talking about starting City Bible Church in Manhattan, which is City Bible Church, New York and New Jersey, is that it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer and fasting, and a lot of giving. And boy, that was really true. And so I would hope that you would join us in this journey of starting this new church as we all share life together, enjoy fun, games, food together, but as we talk to God every day, set time and place. We'll talk more about Daniel Fast next Sunday and what we're going to do to just set aside time to listen to God and to talk to God so that we can grow together. God's got a plan for you, and it's a good plan. God has a plan to bless you. He's got a plan to make this the best year you've had. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you would like prayer today, feel free to raise your hand as I close in prayer or come forward to the front. Myself and my team would be happy to pray for you today. God, I just thank you so much for your word, that it's alive and that you are God, alive and eternal, a God who rescues, a God who saves through the miraculous. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that we can take that to the bank, that the deal is still on, that you are a God we can trust. And so, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us today and every day to get alone with you, to set aside a time and a place to be alone with you, to talk to you, to listen to you, to get closer to you. Lord, I thank you for this new year and all that you're going to do among us here at CBCB. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day. Thanks for coming, whether your holiday is today, tomorrow, however it works. And please enjoy some of the refreshments out in the concession area today. God bless you today. Happy New Year's.